What's up, everybody? It is your host who does the most, Ethan Smith. Hope you all are having a phenomenal Wednesday. And a new segment, a new episode will be starting today as we take a look at your mailbag questions. I answer some of your hard-pressing questions today about a lot of different things. Andy Haynes, first base options for next season. Plenty of stuff to talk about here from the questions that you guys submitted via Twitter. This will be a new thing every single Wednesday. So make sure that you get involved on Twitter at Locked On Pirates or at MVP underscore Ethan to get your questions answered here on the Locked On Pirates podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, which was also featured in the special thanks of HBO's Hard Knocks last night. Shout out to Ross Jackson and all the guys over at Locked On MFL for that shout out. But also, thank you for making me your first listen of the day every single day. Episodes will now start to be coming out bright and early at 8 o'clock in the morning for you, so be ready for that. A lot of changes are coming here from me, and they're better changes for you guys as an audience. I wanted to let you guys know about that. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar and BetOnline.ag, as well as Locked On MLB. More on them later, but let's get into today's episode, everybody.
You are Locked On Pirates. Your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
And welcome back to the Locked On Pirates podcast, everybody. I am, of course, your host who does the most, Ethan Smith. Hope you all, again, are having a phenomenal Wednesday. And this is where you guys could find your Pirates news every Monday through Friday. That is a final thing now. I am making a push for it. This is kind of where I'm throwing this at you guys. I apologize for the lack of episode content. I apologize for the late uploads. It will not be happening anymore. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m., that's when things are going to be coming out. So be on the lookout for that. You might even be getting some extra episodes on the weekends. Depends on what content we get and all of that stuff. But on today's Wednesday episode, it is our Mailbag Wednesday. That is going to be our new segment and episode every single Wednesday where you guys put in your hard-pressing Pittsburgh Pirates questions, and I answer them here on the Locked On Pirates podcast. So kind of a baseline for what is going to be moving on forward. Gary Morgan will be on every Monday. We will have crossovers with other hosts from other teams weekly, depending on which days those work, usually either Monday or Thursday. We're also going to be having Mailbag Wednesday, possibly Throwback Thursday as well. I saw that was a thing that you guys might want to see. So drop your ideas and everything. I try to do my best to be the best Pirates host on the planet, and I want to be that for you guys. Sorry that I'm kind of ranting a little bit today about all this, but enough of that. You're here to listen to Pittsburgh Pirates baseball. You're not here to listen to me. So as stated on Twitter, let's do a mailbag for today's afternoon episode. Drop your questions. They'll be answered on today's episode. Looking for a lot, so drop multiple if you like. So let's get right into it. Panther Politics, a guy who asks a ton of questions here in these mailbags, says options for first base next year. I want to say that the team is going to go add a veteran left-handed bat in free agency. It's starting to look more like the team is going to invest in what they have in the system at first base. That could be Michael Chavis right now, who I think is the fine option for sitting over there. Bly Madris is a left-handed bat at first base, I think is an option still even heading into next year. You then add Mason Martin into the fold next year. You add a guy possibly like G1 Bay into the fold next year. Andy Rodriguez just recently got the call up from Greensboro to Altoona. He's a guy who could potentially play in the outfield. He could be a backstop catcher. He could be a first baseman, so we'll wait and see what the verdict is on Andy Rodriguez. If you had to ask for my bet here, I would assume that it's going to be Michael Chavis and Bly Madris once again, which I'm not mad about. We just saw Michael Chavis last night in the loss to the Diamondbacks have a multiple home run game, with the second home run actually getting the Pirates back in the game when they were down four runs. It's kind of hard because Michael Chavis, I think, still has a lot to offer on the table here. I don't think he's I know he's a little bit older. He's not really that much of a prospect anymore, but I do think he still has a ton to offer to the Pittsburgh Pirates here for the next couple of years. And Bly Madrist just came up this year. He's only going to get better. You can even flirt with the idea again of Jiwon Bae and Mason Martin next year. Mason Martin, I fully expect to be up here next year. Power hitting left-handed bat in the system that strikes out a lot. So we'll see if he can bring those strikeout numbers down. But again, I think it's going to be Michael Chavis and Bly Madrist. If they go for an option in free agency, I would like that too. I wouldn't mind seeing a guy like Ian Happ who could potentially play that position. Trey Mancini, I even think, is a free agent heading into the year. Josh Bell, I don't know if he's a free agent this year or next year, but there will be options in free agency. I just don't fully expect the Pirates to go and spend for those options. I also don't think they really need to spend on those options. I think they need to use their money elsewhere. Our next question comes from Termar Johnson, Stan account, also known as Phil Casaligo. Awesome guy. Far away, but are Cody Bolton and Michael Burrows going to have a shot at making the opening day roster next year? Or do you think we will see more manipulation, in quotations, they need more reps type of thing until the middle of the season? You might get a taste of Cody Bolton and Michael Burrows in the September call-ups period. I would expect that to be probably like a Jack Sawinski, Diego Castillo call-up position. A wild card could be Michael Burrows or Cody Bolton. It kind of just depends on what the Pirates really want to do with them. Michael Burrows, I see much more of as a starter. I think he could definitely be in that spot where they manipulate his time a little bit, let him get some more innings in AAA like they did with Rowanzi this year, and then gradually bring him into the fold, because Michael Burrows, a lot like Rowanzi Contreras, didn't get to pitch in 2020. He didn't pitch a lot last year. He's pitching a lot this year. We'll see how that affects it. I think it affected Rowanzi a little bit differently because, again, 2020, not a lot of innings. 2021, this year he started in the bullpen, gradually built up the innings count, but now he's in AAA for whatever godforsaken reason. But I definitely could see Michael Burrows being that kind of service time manipulation guy. Cody Bolton, on the other hand, I think there's a real shot that he could start in the bullpen next year. You're looking at a bullpen that's going to feature David Bednar, Dwayne Underwood Jr., Will Crow, Yuri De Los Santos. That's going to be your four guys. I think adding Cody Bolton to that fold is a good idea and a good option. You're probably going to see Dylan Peters in that mold as well. Johan Oviedo is another guy that I think you can consider that'll be a bullpen arm also. So I do see Cody Bolton starting in the bullpen. Could he contend for a starting spot? Yes. I mean, you're looking at guys like Mitch Keller, JT Brubaker, Zach Thompson, Rowanzi Contreras, Michael Burrows, Cody Bolton. There's a lot of options that the Pirates are going to have pitching next year. I mean, you could even look at Max Kranick. That's another guy that you could throw out there. Even Tyler Beattie, if they want to continue to throw him into the starting role that they've thrown him in recently. So there's a lot of different options they have there. It is kind of far away, as you mentioned, but I do think there is a reasonable idea that Michael Burrows and Cody Bolton could be on the opening day roster, but I would not also be surprised if they were not, based off of what we saw this year with O'Neill Cruz and Rowanzi Contreras. Now, again, two very different players, two different styles, two different ways of manipulating service time. These guys have never seen the majors. I believe Cody Bolton has in a short stint. Michael Burrows has not. Also, go check out my Mike Burrows interview that we had a few weeks ago, about a month ago now. That was very fun. But again, either or, I would expect if they were on the roster opening day, it wouldn't surprise me. If they weren't, it also wouldn't surprise me. We're going to get to more of your questions here in just a moment, but I want to let you guys know about the wonderful people over at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you are depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor, delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. Cookie dough chunk puffs have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. All of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories, and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. So run to Built.com to snag a box for you and your family. It will be the perfect treat. Or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them for yourself. Like all Built Bars, the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and tasty. And chocolate-covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. Very, very good. What's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new Cookie Dough Chunk Puff. Whether you need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or just need to grab a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar. And they taste better than a candy bar. Ditch the calories, fat, and sugar, and grab yourself a Built bar. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off of your order when you invest in the best protein bars on the market. And we are back here on the Locked On Pirates podcast, where, again, we are answering your hard-pressing questions today about the Pittsburgh Pirates. And moving on today, Keith Wendell asked a question that a lot of us are probably wondering. Will Andy Haynes be the hitting coach in 2023? It has been no secret that this Pirates offense has struggled mightily all year. Do they have stints where they play well? Of course. You saw that against the Brewers. The offense came alive for a good part of that series, except the first game. More often than not, though, it feels like this team is not scoring a lot. As you heard me and Gary talk about, I love the five-run rule. The Pirates have a overwhelmingly positive record when they score five or more runs in a game. Right now, they're not doing that. They've been in the most games this year that have been decided by one or two runs. They do not have a good record in those games. Why? Because the pitching staff is doing well. It is doing what they need to do to support the team and win. It's just the offense is scoring three or less runs a lot more often than not. And it's just, at some point, the pitching staff and the bullpen are not going to be able to support you anymore. Now, will Andy Haynes be the hitting coach next year? You probably won't like my answer, but probably. It's his first year here. The results have not been good, but there is also reasonable claim to say that his lineups that he's been given have not always been the best lineups that could be out there. We just saw Yoshi Tsutsugo get DFA'd. Andy Haynes couldn't fix that, and I don't even think any hitting coach on the planet could have fixed that. Yu Chang was in this lineup for a hot minute. Josh Van Meter, for some reason, is still on this team. That's what he's been having to work with. The young guys are learning. I get it. I want Andy Haynes gone too. But I also know that the Pirates are not the type to pull the plug on coaches quickly. And they give them time. For whatever other reason, Oscar Marin is still on this coaching staff. And the pitching staff has looked leaps and bounds better than it did last year and at the beginning of this year. I mean, you're seeing a very good Mitch Keller. You're seeing a very much better Bryce Wilson than we saw at the beginning of the year. You're seeing a good Zach Thompson. You're seeing a good JT Brubaker for the most part this year. I'll give Oscar Marin credit. The bullpen and the starting pitching staff have actually looked good this year. Not great, not elite, but average. But when you don't have the hitting in the offense to make up for that average bullpen and that average starting rotation that you have, it doesn't really get you far. And we've seen teams succeed with an average bullpen, with an average pitching rotation. We've seen it. But those teams also had top five offenses in baseball. They got on base. And that's one thing that I think Andy Haynes, and I don't know if it's him, but these hitters are very patient at the plate, which is not bad if the guy's throwing balls. But O'Neal Cruz, for instance, last night, I was evaluating one of his at-bats that he had. It was actually his last at-bat of the game. Mark Melancon threw a fastball right down the middle to him. That's a pitch that O'Neal Cruz should be putting over the Chase Field fence immediately, or at least getting a hit on. And then he swung at two changeups in the dirt. I get being patient. But if you fall into 0-2 counts or 1-2 counts and pitchers' friendly counts, there's not much you can really do there. And again, Might not be on Andy Haynes, but also I liked Time for the Cobra to Go into the Hall of Fame. Said, God, I hope not. Keith Wendell said same. And then he asked Keith if he was available to be the hitting coach next year. Keith, I honestly believe you would be doing a better job than Andy Haynes. John Gilger asked a question, which Scott Nelson said was a great question. Who would you consider your core players for this organization moving forward? Now, I think we know the obvious answers. You have Key Brian Hayes, who's on the 8-year contract. Brian Reynolds for now. David Bednar. O'Neill Cruz. Outside of that, I don't know if you can really give an answer. Obviously, moving into next year, there's going to be new guys that are going to cement themselves into this status. You're talking about Leover Piguero. You're talking about Michael Burrows. You're talking about possibly Quinn Priester. Near the back end of the year, you're talking about a guy like Henry Davis. You're also talking about a guy like Andy Rodriguez. You're talking about a lot of guys that you don't really know yet because you haven't seen them yet. If you get the chance as a Pirates fan right now, and I'm going to start making a very good concerted effort to do this, start watching the minor league baseball games. Watch what the future of this team is going to have. Know the players before they get here. I promise you it will make your experience watching the Pirates that much better if you start watching Andy Rodriguez right now and he gets called up next year. It will. Other candidates to cement themselves a part of the core. If Mitch Keller continues to pitch the way he is, slot him in. He still has a ton of control. He still has a ton of youth ahead of him. He still has his prime ahead of him. And I think he could cement himself in the pitching staff. Will Crow, Yuri De Los Santos, those guys, a lot of people don't consider bullpen arms a part of your core. But look at what Milwaukee has done. Josh Hader, before he was traded, was a part of that core. Devin Williams is very much a part of that core. You go look at the Mets right now. I would consider Edwin Diaz a part of the core of the Mets. The guy comes in and shuts it down. You're looking at guys like Kenley Jansen in his heyday with the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's a part of that core. You look at the cores across baseball. You go to the Mets again. Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo, Jeff McNeil, Jacob deGrom, Max Scherzer, Edwin Diaz. That's a core. You go look at the Angels. They have Rendon. They have Trout. They have Otani. David Fletcher, before he got hurt, was a guy that was coming along. Houston has Yordan, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve. Every team has cores, but they also are considered a core piece if they're offering something to the team. Justin Verlander is a part of the core in Houston. Gerrit Cole is very much a part of the core in New York. So it's not crazy to think that Mitch Keller, Michael Burrows, Cody Bolton, one of these young pitchers, Quinn Priester, will be a part of the core. So again, you know the obvious answers. Key Brian Hayes, O'Neill Cruz, Brian Reynolds, David Bednar. Those are your four guys right now I would definitely say are core pieces of this team that will be here for a while, depending on if the Pirates ever say, okay, this is an offer we can't refuse for Bednar or Reynolds. The invitation is open for anybody else. I mean, any of the corner outfielders could be a part of it. Nick Gonzalez, Leover Piguero, Henry Davis, Andy Rodriguez, Mason Martin. The list goes on and on and on. Rodolfo Castro, if he doesn't have his phone in his back pocket, is still a very young guy that could be potentially a part of this core. Ben Gamel is another guy that, yeah, wild name to throw out there, but as a fourth outfielder, I'd love it. I'd love it. I mean, look at the core the Pirates had in 2013. Starling Marte, Andrew McCutchen, Neil Walker, Josh Harrison, Pedro Alvarez, Jameson Taillon, Francisco Liriano, Mark Melancon, Tony Watson. That was a core. Gregory Polanco, that was a fun core. You kind of look at the core that they had recently, Josh Bell, Jameson Taillon, Joe Musgrove. That wasn't a terrible core, but the Pirates will build the core over time. We just have to be patient. Pirates Drew, a guy who always comments on these, always has a lot of good questions. Thoughts on why on using Tyler Beede as a long man in relief? I would much rather have that happen than see him being an opener. I think he would be very, very, very good as a 5th to 7th or 4th to 6th inning guy. I think it would be phenomenal for him. Have him and Will Crow bounce off of each other. Lead it into Yuri De Los Santos setting it up and David Bednar closing it out. You're talking about a good bullpen right there. Tyler Beede, Will Crow, Yiri De Los Santos, David Bednar. Throw Dwayne Underwood Jr. in there and Dylan Peters in there. Johan Oviedo. Johan Ramirez, if you want to throw him in there too. That's a good bullpen. I will go on record as saying if they set their bullpen up like that where Mitch Keller pitches five innings, even Colin Holderman, throw him in there too. Tyler Beede pitches inning five through six, two innings. Colin Holderman comes in the seventh. Will Crow or Yiri De Los Santos in the eighth. David Bednar in the ninth. That's a good, steady thing that you got going on there. But I like that. He also asks, have you liked what Eric Stout and Colin Holderman have given us so far as Buccos? Yes. We've seen a lot of Eric Stout. I actually like some of his stuff. I would like him to develop more than one pitch, and that one pitch that he does have developed is not exactly great. So I think that's something the Pirates could definitely look at towards the offseason. With Colin Holderman, as soon as they made that trade with the Mets, I liked it immediately, getting a bullpen arm with that much control. And I think that he will do a very good job with that. I'm excited to see where they move forward. I think that'll be a very good thing to look out on. And we have a couple more questions to get with you guys. But if you want to bet on the Pirates not to get swept tonight by the Arizona Diamondbacks, make sure you check out betonline.net. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news of every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all of your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today, and BetOnline is where the game starts. And a couple more questions here to get to as we wrap up our Mailbag Wednesday, episode 412 for the Yinzers. Hope you guys are enjoying this episode. I know it's coming out this afternoon, but hopefully you get to listen to it before the Pirates take on the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. Old Dirty Boat, that's his username. I'm just a low-information, mouth-breathing hobbit from the Shire. Love it. Think it's awesome. To the man who does the most, thank you. Here are a few random questions. Other than Josh Van Meter being shown the door, do you see any other roster changes made here this month? Do you think this new version of Mitch Keller is the real deal? It seems like the sinker has made all the difference. We'll start with Josh Van Meter. Guy needs to go. I'm over it. He doesn't need to be here. Rodolfo Castro is here. O'Neill Cruz is here. Kevin Newman is here. Michael Chavis is here. There is absolutely no bleeping reason why Josh Van Meter needs to be on this roster anymore. There's absolutely no reason why. If somebody wants to shout out and give me a reason why he needs to be here, please do so. Is it because he caught a couple innings and he's a good catcher in case something happens? Sure. Whatever. The guy does not need to be here anymore. Other than that, between the time period now that we're in until September 1st, I don't expect anything to happen. I don't even know if that's going to happen. He might even still be here. You just have to wait for September call-ups at this point. That's when you'll see guys like Jack Sawinski and Diego Castillo come back up. You might even see an appearance from, please God, Travis Swaggerty. They need to give the guy a real shot. Again, as I threw it out earlier, Cody Bolton and Michael Burrows might even get a good shout there in September call-ups because you get two extra roster spots in that period. And then, do you think this new version of Mitch Keller is the real deal? Yes. I said it before the season started. I thought he was going to take a leap. It's not been the biggest leap. He still struggled a little bit, but the one thing that I've loved about Mitch Keller this year that you notice is he'll give up that bloop single, and the past couple years, he would let that bother him. The inning would spiral. He'd be done. This year, whatever. I'm just going to keep pitching my game. He's developed the mentality that you want from a pitcher, which is next at bat. Oh, the bases are loaded with two outs, next at bat. I just need this one out. I've liked that he's developed that mentality, and I agree with you 100%. I think that sinker has made all the difference, because go watch 2021 Mitch Keller and watch his fastball. Straight line, right to where he wanted it to go. He'd locate it. But if it's a straight line fastball, ask any major league hitter, the easiest pitch to hit is a fastball with absolutely no movement. Go look at his sinker, though. That is a scary pitch. That is a scary pitch that he throws. And again, I agree with you 100%. I think it has made all the difference. I think the sky is the limit for Mitch Keller. I think he will continue to get better. I think he will only continue to improve on his pitches. And I wouldn't be surprised, having this sinker, that he works on it more in the offseason, on top of the fact that I also think he's going to work on a good secondary pitch. Speaking of Mitch Keller, we get to see him pitch tonight against Madison Bumgarner. So I'm going to evaluate his start tonight, talk about it on tomorrow's episode, talk about what he's improved on. And I think that's going to be a very good thing to key in on for the remainder of the year, because he's only at 107 innings. I think he can easily eclipse 140, 150. I think that's well within his bounds. He's brought his ERA down to a 4.21. Obviously not that great, but from where it was at, oh yeah, very good. I mean, you look at his last couple of starts. I mean, he has a 3-4 record on the road this year, 4.12 ERA. That 4.12 number just keeps on popping up today. But in the month of August, 6 innings pitched, 8 hits, 1 earned run. You look at his last couple of starts as well. He's pitched 6 innings or more in all of his starts. He hasn't given up more than 3 earned runs, and that was against Miami. He's only given up no more than 8 hits. He gives up about 5 on average. That is a good Mitch Keller, and that is only going to continue to get better. I promise you that. If he continues to build this sinker up the way he has, it is only going to get better, I think. And I think the sky is the freaking limit for Mitch Keller. I really do. And then as a final question today, when is Tyler Heineman going to get an extension with the Pirates? I don't know. It's kind of just been catcher A, catcher B, catcher C, catcher D, catcher E, catcher F. I do like what I've seen from Heineman. He's a switch hitting guy. Like him as a backup catcher. We'll see what the Pirates plan to do with him. And then Panther Politics comes back again. Why do the Pirates hate Travis Swaggerty? I don't know. The guy needs to get a real shot. I think he will get a real shot at some point. I just hope it's not too late. Guys, thank you for all of the great questions today. I think you guys did a phenomenal job with all of these questions here on Wednesday. Our 412th episode. Not sure what episode this is with us together. But guys, again, as I started this episode, I will end this episode the same way. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for everything that you guys do. Thank you for listening, downloading, liking, tweeting, everything that you guys do. I promise the content will come to you. I apologize that it hasn't. And I, again, from the bottom of my heart, you guys mean a lot to me. You really do. You guys mean more than you think to me. And I want to be the best host for you. I eventually want to be the best Pirates host that you guys can go to for content. I want you guys to come on this podcast and talk. I want you to give your thoughts. Just everything you guys do is great. Just know that. Thank you for making me your first listen every day. Thank you for choosing me as your Pirates host when you listen. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at @MVP_Ethan or at @LockedOnPirates. Go check out Paul Francis Sullivan of Locked On MLB. Please call him Sully. He has everything you need to know about everything going on in Major League Baseball. From the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much. Enjoy the game tonight, West Coast Warriors. Love you guys. I will see you on the flip side tomorrow. Peace.